and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. It's a special episode today. I'm here with Ian Bennett and Jim Blizzard, two of my favorite evangelists. We had just come off a project together where we built a special app that we'll talk about using Bing Maps SDK. It's a Windows 8 application. Ian, welcome. Glad you're here.
Hey, Cherry. Thanks for having me.
And Jim, hey, welcome. Glad you're here,
thanks.
Too.
Thanks.
You look
Jerry,
really great.
It. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that.
Now, Ian, so the app we were building, it's the Contoso food and dining app. Introduce it just a little bit to me, will you?
Absolutely. So the application is all about finding a restaurant, finding a great place to eat around a specific location. It defaults to using the user's current location, but the user can easily change that location to be, say, Seattle, whereas I'm near New York. For example, if they're going on a business trip and want to plan out some places to eat. Yeah. It features, highly rated restaurants as well as restaurants that we refer to as trending. Whereas, perhaps they were recently reviewed, they have positive feedback, the up-and-comers, if you will.
It's a pretty cool app, Ian.
Yeah, absolutely.
We used a designer. We went through the whole process. It's a beautiful-looking app. Yeah, it's really a great reference point for developers as well. Now, Ian, why were you involved? Tell us who you are real quick.
Sure. So I'm a technical evangelist based out of the East Coast. I work with consumer ISVs. The way I got involved is based on the experiences that I had with our consumers and sort of the trials and tribulations that they experienced when first developing their Windows applications. Our business group, our Windows business group, thought it would be a great idea to create some reference applications to maybe remove some of the speed bumps in getting these applications into our marketplace. So we took some of the ideas that came around some of the marketing material that we created for Windows 8, sort of the design decks, and we picked them and said, hey, these would make great reference applications. So food is near and dear to just about everyone's heart, so we decided that would be a great place to start.
We could almost call the app, Where Do You Want to Eat? I mean, that's kind of the way
Absolutely.
The app is laid out. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
And Ian, you're not going to say it, but you're the development lead and the team lead. You did a great job on the project. Now, Jim.
Effort.
Oh, come on, Ian. Jim, tell us a little bit about who you are on this project.
Sure. I'm a technical specialist based in Tampa, Florida. So, and I work with the enterprise customers here across the Southeast. So I think it's 1,000 seats and more. So I work with them regarding Visual Studio, application lifecycle management, modern application development. And so I figured, wow, let me put my fingers where my mouth is and get busy on writing one of these Windows 8 apps. And I hooked up with this team, and it's been a wonderful experience and fabulous stuff.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun working with you too, Jim. Now, Jim, you were the guy who really headed up the Bing Maps SDK when we were using it. And when a developer wants to include a map in their application, just from a technical point of view, what are the steps they need to go? What do they need to include?
Well, it's fairly simple now. You simply can open up Visual Studio and go to your Tools menu and just go to the extensions and updates option on that, and then it's in a NuGet package. So you can just search for Bing Maps in the online section, and it'll be available to you. Just download, and it installs itself. Another aspect is that once you do that, you do have to include the C++ libraries for it. So you're when you target your builds, you have to target a specific architecture, whether it's 64 or 32-bit or ARM.
That's got right. It. And then, so I'm looking at it on the web here. It's Bing Maps SDK for Windows Store apps. So if you're looking at it in the NuGet Packet Manager, you got to really hit it. Bing Maps is probably all you need to put in there to really find it.
Exactly. That's all you need to do, and it'll pop up. Yep.
Yep. So if I have a lot of data, especially if I have data that has some sort of geo reference, like an address or a zip code or something like that, I'm just a natural candidate for putting a map in an app, don't you think, Ian?
Absolutely, 100%. There's several different ways that you could showcase, say, restaurant data, for example, right? You can provide the static sort of laundry list, the tiles, if you will. But, hey, if it's got an address attached, even, as minimal as the city and state, why not throw it in a map? Great visual interest in viewing that type of data, right?
Yeah, that's right. Jim, when I'm looking at a list, it's compelling, but not as compelling as when I can touch it and interact with it. What are some of the features that the Bing Maps SDK brings to the app? Is it just showing me the map, or kind of walk me through what the new capabilities I'll have?
Yeah, so it's interactive. You can, and it's not just a static picture that you would display, just an image or something that you would create and then show on the screen. It's interactive, so it has touch capabilities. We, for our application, we created markers with restaurant information on them. Each of them was tappable. We're able to zoom in and filter the data in
real
time.
Using the regular pinch zoom, I can do it. Just interact with it that way?
Exactly. And then, yeah, exactly. And the map will resume itself as you do any filtering. Let's say you want to just look for kid-friendly restaurants in your area. Mm-hmm. It'll reorganize itself and highlight those. So it's very rich, very compelling, very immersive experience that you wouldn't necessarily get with just a static image that gets refreshed.
And like everything in Windows 8, just to be clear, it's very touch-friendly but completely supporting keyboard and mouse as well for non-touch devices.
Definitely so, yes.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Don't forget pen, Jerry.
and the pen, that's right.
Yes,
hey, that's a differentiator,
right.
Ian. That's real life.
Right?
Yeah, who wants to write with their pen? I mean,
that's
who wants
right.
to write with their finger? Only a pen. All right,
yes.
So Ian, yes. I know that when I build a Windows Phone app, right, I've built
yes.
a few Windows Phone apps, I'm always using a map because it's a great way to visualize the data.
Sure.
I use it, I go in, I go get my key from the Bing Maps portal, plug that in, and it just starts magically working. There's no
yes.
cost to me. What's the experience for a developer if they want to start using it? Same process? They still go to the
same
portal?
Same exact process. Go to the portal, get a key. You'll want to set, so if you've already got a Windows Phone app, you want to generate a second key for your Windows 8 application. You plug that in, you start using.
Okay, so other things we can show on the map. We know we can see points on the map. We can see our current location as a point as well. We can, as Jim was alluding to, we can customize those points. We can show traffic. We can show directions on those points.
Sure.
And then when we do customize the push pins, Jim, you did a lot of the initial customization for those push pins. Is it just selecting from a list? That's the way the static imagery is? Or how rich can those push pins be?
You have pretty much ultimate flexibility on that. You can put images inside these push pins. You can make them whatever size you want them to. So it's essentially we created XAML user control. And with all the properties and settings that you would want to have with a user control, so background colors, text, the ability we ended up putting our restaurant objects inside of that control so they were self-aware as far as being able to show data for cuisine.
So, it's just a matter of binding from there, right?
Exactly, just a matter of binding.
So you can put an image in there. Could you put a text block in there?
Yes, text blocks, borders.
Could you put a grid view in there?
You could, anything you want, anything you want.
You can
run
an app inside.
The world is
it
your
is
oyster.
The app. You click on it, it opens up into a whole new world. It takes you on a virtual tour. No, it doesn't.
Simmer down, Jim.
All right. So we were talking about static imagery. There is the hub of the app itself. We have a map
yes.
there, and that we didn't use the Bing Maps control. Instead, we used just a static image. Ian, what was the thinking there?
Yeah, so basically we had a small space to work with, right? In addition, mm-hmm. we have lots of data to display in the hub, and we needed the user to be able to pan left and right. If we had the map control in the hub, not only would we have competition with the touch gestures, right? But also it really doesn't do it justice with the small space that we had to work with. And really we wanted to pull the user into the data, sort of entice them to find out more. So that was one way to do it. Provide a static map. If they tap or click on the static map, it brings them to the map view of that data, and they can just explore and find some amazing places to eat.
Yeah. What'd you guys think about the performance of the control? If you add it to a page, was there a pretty big cost to it, or was it transparent?
Now, that's one of the cool things because, Jerry, you had built this test harness at the beginning. And so I threw the first iteration was I threw the map control in there. And you had stopwatches, timers to see how long it would load. And I was surprised at how quickly it would load and zoom from Seattle over to Tampa and show the restaurants. It was very little impact from a CPU standpoint very quick to interact with. So very responsive. Yeah.
Now, it's an online control, though, right? I mean, this is not a control you would use offline. You can't cache the maps. Is that right, Ian?
That's correct. There is some level of caching, but you certainly want the application to be online to make best use of it.
That's something that the developers will have to think about when they're using this control
Absolutely.
In their app.
That's
right. You can't just throw it in and assume it's going to work offline. You're right. There's a level of caching, but if you close the app, reopen the app, and you're offline, yeah, it's over.
That's right.
So you
got to
check and sniff to make sure the network is still active before you start
Absolutely.
Trying to show this control.
Yep.
So that it's nice. You know, developers just have to think it through. It's not that big of a deal. It's the same on the phone. It's the same everywhere you'd use a control like this that leverages back to an almost infinite number of images and tiles that it's going to show.
Right.
Another thing to think about, and we all hit this problem, was you start showing things on the map. It looks cool. Pretty soon you get a lot of data, and it doesn't
sure.
look cool anymore. You know
That's
what I mean,
right.
Jim?
Yeah, we spent a lot of time with that. So we thought, well, do we just show a little pin and and everybody has to click on that to show more data about what is underneath that pin? What does that represent?
Yeah.
Do we start with flyouts? Do we have different transparency? Get the alpha channel going to highlight the one that is selected. That took us several iterations through. And then we got to the point of looking around at how other maps did things. And it's like, let's do some clustering. If they're too close together, let's just group them into a nice little cluster.
Right.
So it was interesting. Ian and I were talking on the phone. It was probably about 7 p.m. one evening. And it was like, yeah, it'd be great to do that. Search, look at all the restaurants. We know where they are. We know their location. And then just do some kind of bounding rectangle around that. So I went to sleep, and I was thinking, yeah, I'll work on that this morning because we have our day jobs to do. And
some of the best development happens while we're asleep. Yeah.
Well,
I
came in the next morning, and I did a view history on the branch, and it's like, holy moly, Ian, what have you done? So I sent him an IM. He was already awake. It's like, look at this stuff. And Ian was a master of that. He came up with some really nice algorithms to be able to do that clustering.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jim. I just couldn't help myself.
No, it was great. It was beautiful.
It wasn't the first time either. Every time Ian had a challenge, we're like, well, we'll figure it out in a few days. That never lasted a few days.
Exactly.
Prince. All right. So, no, seriously, yes. Ian, what were some of the APIs that you used to help figure out how to do some of this clustering? I've worked with maps before. This is always a problem. Developers are always wanting to figure it out. I think it's important just to say now, it's not built in, right? Clustering is just part of the control. You get to figure it out and implement it the way you like it. What were some of the APIs you used?
Sure. So I should point out that our AJAX control for the web actually has this sort of functionality built in. We're not a feature parity for the Bing Maps SDK for Windows 8 just yet. So who knows if it will be brought back into the fold. But for the time being, there's some cool APIs that you can utilize. What I chose to do is basically use there's a method called on the map control itself, try location to pixel, right? So given a location, latitude and longitude, it'll figure out what pixel, XY coordinate on your map that location represents, right? What this allows you to do is basically draw sort of, like Jim said, a bounding rectangle using the northwest corner and the southeast corner and, bound a rectangle around that location and find all the other locations within that bounding rectangle, right? So step one, try...
Yeah.
It's try location to pixel. Step two is, sort of do your math to figure out what you want your radius or your bounding rectangle to be. Step three is with those pixels, there's sort of that pixel math that you've done. There's another method called try pixel to location, which converts it back to a location. And then you can create a bounding rectangle.
Yeah.
With a bounding rectangle, a location rectangle, you can basically give a location and you can figure out is that location within that bounding rectangle, away you go. Collapse and be merry.
Yeah. And the way you describe it, it sounds like there's a million moving parts, but it's really not. I mean, it's
really
a logical
not.
Process.
Really...
You got to figure out where they are. You got to figure out which ones are in the box, to put the kind of the pointer where the number is.
And he wrote some very sweet looking code. It brought a tear to my eye when I looked at it. I got to tell you.
Oh, come on.
And the nice thing is we had the restaurants in a collection, so it was, it was easy to iterate across those, but still it was some nice elegant looking code that he wrote.
Yeah.
Well, and blush, Jim. I don't know if you could see it out there. Yeah,
it's oh, you're so red. Seriously. So you have the code. You know, Ian. I mean, honestly, you wrote it in an evening, right? I mean, the logic is that straightforward. The APIs are that easy to go. Maybe not everybody is the superhero you are, so maybe it's two evenings. But the reality is, you can implement this sort of clustering logic without a major implementation effort, right? You can really have some neat stuff on the map.
That's right.
I think it really scares people, I think, often. You know, all this, you know, oh, how would we ever do it? And so they just back away from really creating an excellent user experience from it.
Yeah, they think it's voodoo, but it really isn't.
Yeah, it really isn't. That's exactly right. Yeah. Those are the big things for us, right? Like deciding whether or not the control or the static imagery. You don't have as much influence over the static imagery, though, right?
That's right.
Yeah, you get to pick whatever pins they have, but still it looks pretty nice. Definitely looks like the control, and then you can interact with that or touch it to kind of bring up the control to do all the interactions. I like that. So if we have the data, if there's a developer watching right now, and they have some sort of address or some sort of geo data that they could show, they should jump into it first of all, because you can just do a vanilla implementation in a wink of an eye. Pretty easy.
Without a doubt. Yeah, you can be up and running in a matter of an hour tops.
Yeah, and just go get your key, and you're ready to go. And Jim, I mean, you were our first guy that did the first implementation. You had less documentation than any developer will today. And but seriously, from a level of effort, you had it up and going pretty simply, because there's a parity, at least in implementation, between other platforms.
Yeah, it was and the documentation was good enough. They had a couple of simple samples on there. It's like, this isn't too bad, and just. You know, again, played around with it on the side branch, and it was very straightforward to just, you know, get something out there. And it's like, okay, and then take a few iterative steps on making a little fancier, doing some additional things to it. So yeah, not a challenge, not too big of a challenge, definitely.
And Jim, in order to use, if I wanted my location in my Windows 8 app, I need to go to the AppX manifest and ask for permission to use location.
Correct.
Any declarations to use the Bing Maps SDK?
Yeah, there is. What was that include statement? I don't remember. There was a using statement you do have to use to reference it. And then you do need to get the geolocation, so you have to add that namespace in there as well to get your geloc.
Yeah. I mean, it's for the developer if they show their location or not. But, yeah, go ahead, Ian.
Yeah, the documentation on where you download the Bing Maps SDK has a great sort of starter walkthrough that helps you, you know, put the right namespace tag in the XAML and get going.
Yeah, that's all that you really need to get going. That's right. So it's great. So Jim says it's easy to implement. Ian, you say it's free. Those two things together.
But don't quote me on that.
No, yeah. Right.
So not to leave out our JavaScript friends, because there are samples in JavaScript as well. We did ours in C# XAML. You can do the same thing. I believe it's based on AJAX 7 or something like that. I was looking at the documentation earlier today, but it is available. You're not excluded if you're doing that type of development.
I think a great conclusion is, if you've got data that fits in a map and you don't show it in a map, it's a disservice to your user. It's just a great way to visualize the data, interact with the data, feel closer to it, and just showing it in a grid. That gets it done, but it's just not excellent.
Right. And I feel our users probably expect that out of us these days, right?
Yeah. I like the fact that the bar is raised.
Yes, absolutely.
Very rich, very immersive. Draws you in. Yes, definitely. You sit there, sweep and swipe and zoom and pan. It's lovely.
Yeah, it's lovely. Thanks, Jim. Hey, thanks, Jim. I appreciate you being on the show today.
Sure thing, Jerry. Thank you.
Ian, same to you. Thanks for being on the show. Both you guys, I had a great time working on this project with you. Okay, guys, thanks again. Remember, developers, if you have the data that fits in a map, the right thing to do is just include the map. The Bing Maps SDK lets you do it effortlessly, and it also gives you the extensibility to make it as customized and distinctive as you want it to be in your application. Thanks again, guys. We'll talk to you later.